If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Welcome to the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Charlie Romeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks were unfortunately routed by the Pittsburgh Penguins 7-3. It was the third time this season the Blackhawks have given up at least seven goals in a game. Four of them came in the first period. So it was a really tough start for the Blackhawks and a tough loss for Chicago, too, coming off a really inspiring 4-3 shootout victory in Dallas last night, coming out of that three-day holiday break where Hawks didn't have a morning skate yesterday. Long day of travel, put together a really well-rounded victory, but they're not able to capitalize and carry that over into tonight's game. And I'm going to bring in Steve Conroy now to help me break down this game. And Steve, it just felt like from the opening puck drop, I actually thought the Blackhawks were maybe the first couple shifts. Nick Foligno had a shot on goal, and then Tyler Bertuzzi fed Andrei Burakovsky, had a nice chance there. Mm-hmm. And then Pittsburgh scores the first goal of the game, 1:38 in. It's probably one Spencer Knight wants back, and that was kind of the telltale story of that first period. Spencer wanting maybe a couple of those goals back, and then he was pulled after that fourth one.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Two of the four he'd probably like to have back. And it was really surprising because they had such a good start in Dallas, and that was, I think, a big reason why they ended up winning that game in a shootout is because they had the great start. It gave them some confidence. And I think, you know, when you get scored on, you know, what was it? They had at least a couple of goals within the first 6 or 7 minutes. All of a sudden you get back on your heels and you start questioning your preparation and you start questioning yourself. And all of a sudden you feel a little more tired. You know, you score that first goal and all of a sudden you feel better about yourself and you're energized. So that certainly didn't help the start. But you're right. They had some looks at the beginning of the game, and Bertuzzi was right there. Burakovsky had a really good opportunity. I had landed Slaggart with a chance too, and I'm not too sure what happened on it, but they came up empty there, and then down the other end the Pittsburgh Penguins did their thing. And boy, I really like their second line, especially early in this hockey game. We're looking at Mantha, Novak, and Brazeau, who ended up with a hat trick. He's a big body. He's 6'6 and 232 pounds, and he's got some pretty good hands for a big man. And you know, more than that, it's a great story. Toiled for 5 years in the minors before he made it to the bigs, and it's paying dividends for him right now.
So Pittsburgh scored the first goal 1:38 in, scored the second goal 7:19 into the game to make it 2-0, and then 61 seconds later, the Penguins go up 3-0. Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill takes a timeout there, and then the Hawks, a minute and a half later after that timeout, Hawks go on the power play. And unfortunately, they just generated one shot attempt on it. And as soon as that power play ended, Pittsburgh scores to make it 4-0. And I thought it was a missed opportunity there by the Blackhawks on the power play. They're now 1-for-19 in their last seven games. And all seven of those games are without Connor Bedard. So we know the power play is going to have to be an area of focus without Connor Bedard, without Frank Nazar as well. And Ilya Mikheyev missed his second straight game because of he was tending to a personal matter with he and his wife welcoming a baby recently. And so I thought in that first period, that first power play for Chicago was a missed opportunity where coach calls a timeout, opportunity to maybe cut it to 3-1.
Yeah.
But then as that ends, I was about to say San Francisco because we throw on the Bears game here. But Pittsburgh makes it 4-0. The kind of circle that is like maybe a little bit of a turning point moment.
Well, it certainly was. It was Brian Rust coming out of the penalty box, too, and he's the guy who scored. Sidney Crosby with a pass into his skates, and he kicks it up to his stick. And that was certainly a goal, I think, that Spencer Knight would like to have back. And, you know, I jot down notes as I'm watching the play, and I think I had a couple of guys with opportunities that shot the puck wide. And Ryan Donato, who's played really well over the last few games, shoots it wide. That kills it on the power play. It really kills the play when you shoot a puck wide and it rims around. And I also had Andrei Burakovsky maybe high over the crossbar. Again, it's a missed opportunity for a shot on the power play because, you know, very rarely is it the first shot that you score on. It's the second and third opportunities. It's the scrambles. It's the chaos that Jeff Blashill likes to refer to that shot making and shots create. And it just doesn't happen when you miss wide. So I think, you know, you hit it right on the head. You don't have Connor Bedard, and you don't have Frank Nazar, you know, two guys who can really be quarterbacks out there who can settle down the power play. But that being said, they had their looks. They had their opportunities. you just got to simplify it. And it's like, okay, I don't have to score on this, but I do have to get it on net. And I think that's got to be the mindset. It's like, don't try and pick it too fine. Don't try and put the puck just inside the post. Just get it at the net and then see what happens afterwards.
The Hawks also now fall to 0-4-0 in the second game of a back-to-back. And in those four games, the Hawks have been outscored 27-6, as you just recently mentioned, minus 21 goal differential.
Oh, I mean, he scored like 27-7.
Oh, you're right, 27-7. I forgot to add that one. All right, minus 20 goal differential.
Yeah,
Tyler Bertuzzi with 0.7 seconds left. Just your thoughts on that stat. I know the Hawks, Arvid Soderblom had been starting the previous 3 seconds of a back-to-back. But in this instance, the Hawks decided to start Arvid Soderblom in Dallas. Mm-hmm. They go with Spencer Knight against Pittsburgh today. And oddly enough, you know, Spencer Knight just was off his game in that first period. And I wonder, too, how much of it was Spencer Knight, they weren't on the ice until Tuesday. There was no morning skate yesterday. There was no morning skate today. Mm-hmm. So Spencer literally didn't, he probably hasn't seen shots since the Tuesday game against Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if that played any role as maybe we kind of dismiss this one-off of the second of a back-to-back as far as the goaltending swap, because I would like to see moving forward Spencer Knight start in the second of back-to-backs and not the first, because feels like when you got the tired legs, you kind of want your starting goaltender to elevate your group. But I don't know what it is about the second of back-to-backs this year. Hawks now 0-4.
I would say, Charlie, the first three, I wasn't too concerned. Now I'm a little more concerned. It's a trend now. And what do they have? They've got 12 back-to-backs this year, so they're only a third of the way through the back-to-backs. They've got to get it solved, especially with the differential like that. They're averaging giving up almost 7 goals per game, right? Because
yeah.
4 times 7 is 28, so they're giving up 27 goals. So you've got to address that. And like I said, I think after three games, I wasn't too concerned about it, but now it's a little more of a trend. So you got to put your finger on it. And, you know, obviously being without two of your top offensive guys means something, but it's the goals against that are killing you. And, you know, again, I look to the coverage on the ice, and it wasn't there. And Jeff Blashill has talked about, you know, the lack of practices with all the games we're playing, the compressed schedule, you get the Olympics in February, you know, there's going to be 21 games in 40 days. There's not a lot of time for practice. And that's, especially with a young team, that's where you have to kind of iron out those coverage issues. And there was coverage issues here today. Why there wasn't coverage issues last night, who knows? But, you know, I just think that when you have a tired team, you know, sometimes positioning is so much more important. And in a second game of a back-to-back, you're a little more tired. Positioning is key, and keeping it simple is key. So I think those are the points they're going to have to stress going forward. And like Jeff said, Jeff Blashill, head coach, they are going to practice tomorrow, even though they played back-to-back games. And even though they do have a game on Tuesday, that's 3 games in 4 days, they are going to practice tomorrow, and I'm sure go over some of those coverage schemes.
So the Hawks fell behind 3-0. They take a timeout, couldn't capitalize on their first power play of the game, and then Pittsburgh scores to make it 4-0. That's when Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill decided to yank Spencer Knight, puts in Arvid Soderblom. And then in the second period, the Hawks make this a 4-1 game. Nick Foligno scores his first of the season with 9:10 left. And unfortunately for the Blackhawks, they right after that, they end up taking a too many men on the ice penalty, and Pittsburgh scores to make it 5-1. That's the 9th too many men on the ice penalty, as John mentioned on the broadcast, which I think leads the entire NHL. I mean, that's been a weird thing for Chicago, the too many men on the ice penalties, and that one came at a very inopportune time for Chicago.
Are we sure they're all too many men on the ice? Because sometimes you get a penalty for a challenge, and that's a bench minor.
Correct.
But are they all too many men on the ice penalties?
I think so, but there have been a couple instances where it is just a regular bench minor.
Yeah.
So if it's like 7.
Yeah.
I think the Hawks have only lost 2 challenges this year.
Right. Okay. So even if it is 7, you're right. That's probably 6 too many. And that's all about communication. And that's all about maybe having a young team. You know, you've got to be aware on the bench. And that's something that, you know, and I played here for 4.5 years under Mike Keenan, and sometimes he wouldn't give you the lineup until the next lineup until the very last second. And so no one knew who was going to be up. But you've got to be aware of where the puck is, who's on the ice. And from what I could see, it looked like Matt Grizzlick jumped on the ice. There was already two defensemen on the ice. I think it's easier for defensemen to change because there's only two guys, and I'm only worried about me as a left defenseman. I just worry about the lefty. As soon as I saw him come into the bench, I was jumping on. So that's simple. But you hit it on the head, and I talked about it at the time. It's the bad penalties that, if for whatever reason, you always get scored on. And when a guy takes a penalty stopping a goal, it's those are the ones that tend to get killed. Those are good penalties, and they just seem to get killed. And it's the bad penalty, I guess the cheap penalties, the preventable penalties, are the ones that end up in the back of your net. That's exactly what happens. So that's got to be addressed. But again, I think that's a function of a young team, and it's maybe a function of, you know, maybe guys not talking enough. And young guys sometimes won't talk as much as older guys do.
So the Pittsburgh Penguins, interestingly enough, score 7 goals in this game, but Sidney Crosby had just 1 point. It was an assist, logged 17:37 of ice time. You'd think you score 7 goals, it was like Sid the Kid leading the way. There's no Geno Malkin in this game. He's been out for several weeks now with an injury. The Penguins historically have had a tough record here at the United Center, but over the last couple games, the Pittsburgh has gotten the better of Chicago here at the United Center, and Crosby has been leading the way on a majority of that, but interestingly enough, only 1 point for 87.
Yeah, you know, you look at this lineup, and it's a lot of names you might not be aware of, and I remember Novak from his time with the Nashville Predators, and I thought that second line, especially the first half of the game, was very, very good. Brazo with the hat trick, Mantha, you know, there's a knock on him that, you know, he's you know, maybe a lazy player out there, but boy, there's no denying that he's a big body who can move, who's got pretty good hands. I think Kindle was really good. I don't know what he ended up with. He might not have had any points at all, but Kindle was noticeable. And their fourth line, much like the fourth line for Chicago and Dallas last night, did a real good job. I thought their fourth line of Lizotte, Achari, and Dewar was very, very good, very effective. Achari, I know, ended up with a goal. I don't know what that line ended up with. They get 10 minutes of ice time, did Lizotte?
Yep.
And that was Lizotte's first game back after missing 9. So he's an important part of that team. He's a solid centerman. He makes things happen out there, as does Achari. And Achari, I remember talking to Joel Quenneville, because Joel had him with the Florida Panthers, and he said he's a tough kid to play against. He's like a bowling ball out there. So he scores a goal tonight, you know, up and down the lineup. And really a no-name defense. You know, you take out Carlson and Letang. You know, John talked about Witherspoon, who's a great story, a kid who was buried in Long Island. Kulak, we know from the Edmonton Oilers, but Shea and St. Ivany, I know Shea had 3 assists and was +5 at one point. I don't know what he ended up.
He did end up with +5.
Yeah, so, I mean, kind of a no-name defense that, boy, they really rose to the occasion here tonight. So, you know, part of that was because the Blackhawks didn't have a real good game, but sometimes you got to give credit to the other side, too. So let's give credit to Pittsburgh.
Justin Brazo with maybe the quietest hat trick I can remember, because Connor Dewar ends up flicking the puck near the towards the net, and Brazo was the one that redirected it, but it was hard to tell in real time.
Yeah.
And so there was a pretty large Penguins contingent. The fan base traveled well in this game, and there were no hats thrown onto the ice, because I think everyone originally thought it was Connor Dewar's goal. Ends up being Brazo's, and unfortunately, he didn't have the true hat trick feel, but I'm sure that's going to feel good for him in the contributing 3 of the 7 goals for his team.
Do you know what a baseball cap goes for these days? I think some people are a little reluctant. 30, but 30 bucks. I'm going to hang on to this 30 bucks.
Yeah.
But you know what, Brazo, it was kind of a quiet hat trick, but he was noticeable, and I noticed him right from his first couple of shifts. Getting to the front of the net, dumping pucks in, and being the first on the forecheck, and then getting the puck back. So, get it back. A lot of coaches preach that, and that's exactly what Brazo did. And I think that's why they like him. Not the most punishing guy in the world, but boy, you can't teach big. And he's 6'6". I think he's 232 pounds. He was an effective player tonight.
You ready for this 21 games and 40-day stretch going into the Olympic break? It's going to be a lot of hockey. It's going to be a lot of. You're going to get sick of me by the end of this 40 days. You're going to need the 3-week break.
I know. Bring it on. We love talking hockey with you. Are you kidding me?
Why is your nose getting bigger?
I'm kidding. You know what you do, Charlie? You show us what's behind the curtain, and that's why I like it. It's not just all numbers. It's like you show us how the sausage is made, and that's why we appreciate you.
Well, that's why I lean on you, too. I think you're the real pro here, so I learn a lot from you, so thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome. The Blackhawks fall to the Pittsburgh Penguins 7-3, unfortunately, to kick off a stretch where the Hawks are going to be playing 12 of the next 15 here at the United Center, including 10 of 12. So it's going to be a busy stretch here in Chicago leading into the holiday break. We're waiting on some sound for the Blackhawks, or from the Blackhawks locker room, and we'll hear what the post-game reaction was when we get that sent in, when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Kaiser drops it off Lafferty. Now a Foligno in front. Should he score? Welcome back to the lineup, Captain Nick Foligno. Bada boom, bada bang. The Hawks are on the board, trailing 4-1.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. That was Nick Foligno's first goal of the season and a welcome back moment for him after he missed the last 19 games with a left hand slash wrist injury after he took a slap shot there in the Toronto game. So good to see Nick Foligno back in the lineup. He didn't take a single faceoff in this game. Hawksworth wanted to be cautious to make sure that they weren't throwing him into a situation where his hand, wrist area wasn't just prepared for that kind of responsibility. We know that he's a really important player when it comes to the faceoff department, but the Hawks made sure that they didn't want to overtax him in his first game back. But nice to see him find the back of the net. Let's hear what the Blackhawks captain had to say after this one in his return to the lineup.
First of all, I know it's been a long wait for you. Yeah. How are you feeling tonight?
Yeah, I was excited to get back with the group, obviously. And you hate being away, especially, you know, with some of the injuries we had after and, you know, just wanting to help this group move forward. So you do your best you can with when being out, but, you know, it's nice to get back and get healthy. So I give the trainers and everybody a lot of credit for getting me back.
Seemed like the group, maybe a mix of rust from the holiday, a long day yesterday with travel, game, yeah. Everything, or do you know? Just,
nah, I don't really.
You
yeah.
Don't, okay.
I just don't think, you know, if anything, that was yesterday's game that you can make those. I just don't think we're a team that needs to be making excuses. I think we're a team that needs to just find ways to get better, you know, and I think that's the most frustrating part for us is probably there's a lot to love about this group, you know, and I think that's where we expect more out of ourselves. And I think the coaching staff is just like, you know, they want to see us get that mindset and understanding of how we need to play in these moments, right? And it seems to be a problem right now where we're not handling these back-to-backs the way we need to. And, you know, that's probably more between the ears. I think there's a lot that we are, you know, we're well-conditioned, we're well-prepared by the coaching staff. So I think it comes down as a man to just the pride and understanding of how to play a defensive mind game sometimes when you're on a back-to-back and situational play. So, but it's hard because it's, you know, this is an encouraging group. As weird as that is to say, it is. It's a team that, you know, you get down on because you see when it's there and what it can be. And then you have these moments where it not frustrates you, but it just disappoints you a little bit. But that's where we're at right now, right? We're learning how to win. Mm-hmm. Right now we're finally a team that's kind of past the just trying to figure out who we are, and now we're trying to learn how to win with what we have. And this is the unfortunate part sometimes where you hit a little hiccups along the way, and we have to be better.
Does the focus remain on winning? I know the playoffs have kind of slipped out of, you know, our grasp since you've been gone, but does this group right now, especially without Connor and Frank, need just the focus on the process? And what's important change at all?
I think even when Connor and Frank were in, the process was always the focus, and I think it gave us the results, right? And yeah, okay, we have different personnel in, but the process should almost stay the same, if not, you know, get a little bit sharper. And that's where I think you look at yesterday's game against a team that you could argue is the best in the Western Conference, and our details and our habits. And yeah, okay, our goaltending was really good, but we also found ways to get momentum back and we didn't have it, or keep momentum when we had it, and go into a tough environment and get a win. So it's the Jekyll and Hyde a little bit, right, that we're dealing with. And I think for us, it's staying the course. It's understanding that the process will prevail. The process will allow us to become a winning team. And yeah, it's not fun. And, you know, it stinks in front of, you know, 20,000 fans tonight to not have a better effort. But that is kind of the where we're at with the group that we have, right? We're still young in some areas and inexperienced, and it shows in those moments. And it's not an excuse. It's just the reality. And then I think that's where our coaching staff and our understanding as a group is like, if we process focus, a lot of that goes away. A lot of that inexperience gets made up for. And I think we just have to understand that and really like sink into that in those moments. Like tonight where, all right, you're coming back. We don't have a ton of experience on back-to-backs. All right, let's just be really dialed in on our defensive side, make sure we're clearing out the front of the net, make sure we're doing all the little things to get our game going. And then all of a sudden our plays come to life. And you know, that just wasn't the case today. We allowed a lot of plays around the net, and they make you pay. That's a good team over there. So that's where we can learn and get better. But it's not to get down and say, oh boy, here we go again. It's just, all right, catch ourselves and let's get back to work.
Thank you.
How are you feeling, and how did you feel out there?
I felt good. Yeah, I mean, I feel good. You just try to come back and make an impact, and you know, and then you know, it stinks to be in a game like that tonight. You know, and to be honest with you, you get amped up to get back, and then it kind of goes south really quick. But I've been in enough of these where enough playing time where you understand how you have to impact the team and the game, and so you just try to go out there and do your job, and I think it's a good lesson for probably everybody.
You got a goal.
Yeah, I mean, I could care less about that, to be honest with you. It's just nice to get in and start impacting the game again. You know, that's what my focus is to be reliable for these guys and be reliable for the coaching staff, so in situations that I can help out in, I can. And you know, I felt like I was, you know, I'm getting back to that, and you know, one game I'm not going to really judge myself on. It's just nice to get back and get rolling here.
All right, that was Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno. Obviously scored his first goal of the season in this game, but cared more about the way that his team played or didn't play against the Pittsburgh Penguins in this 7-3 loss. Thought it was interesting. He said he thinks the second of a back-to-backs are kind of between the ears at this point. Hawks 0-4, being outscored 27-7 in the second of back-to-backs, and so we'll see if anything changes moving forward. We know it's going to be a really compact schedule going into the Olympic break, and so I imagine there are a couple more back-to-backs before we get there. How about Wyatt Kaiser? He scored the second goal of the game for the Blackhawks. It was his fourth of the season. All four of his goals now have come in the month of December, and he now has 9 points, which is a new career high. Let's hear what Wyatt had to say after this 7-3 defeat to Pittsburgh.
What was happening there in that first period? What were some of the issues that led to that start?
Yeah, I think, you know, in the D zone, I mean, we've been really trying to kind of focus on that. I think it got away from us a little bit, just little details, and I think that's, and it slips quick, right? So, yeah.
On the second half of the back-to-backs, it's obviously been a challenge. Do you have any idea what the issue is?
No, I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I mean, it's not an excuse either, right? So I think we've definitely got to kind of look into it and try to figure it out. I mean, maybe it's a young group. We're kind of trying to figure out tired legs, mentally fatigued. Yeah, just trying to grow from it.
Is this part of the maturing process, trying to figure that out?
I think so, yeah.
How nice to get Foligno back. I know he's been a presence here the entire time, but just to get him back on the ice, back on the bench.
Yeah, he's a stabilizing kind of guy where he comes in, and even in the locker room on the ice, it's kind of a core of our team, so yeah, it's big.
All right, that was Blackhawks defenseman Wyatt Kaiser scoring one of the three goals. I keep forgetting about the Tyler Bertuzzi one that happened with 0.7 seconds left for Chicago. Thought Wyatt played a decent game. He's been really good for the Blackhawks over the last several weeks and just all season long. Hawks fall to the Pittsburgh Penguins 7-3. We got one more break, and then we are going... Oh, I'm sorry. We got more to get to here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, including Jeff Blashill's postgame press conference. That's coming up next right here on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Hawks fall to the Pittsburgh Penguins 7-3 here at the United Center. Time now for tonight's Ice Times, which are sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. It was Artem Levchinov leading the way for the Blackhawks yet again at 23:20. Tyler Bertuzzi behind him at 20 minutes and 3 seconds. They were the only two players on the Blackhawks roster that logged north of 20 minutes of ice time. Let's hear what Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill had to say after this one, a 7-3 loss to Pittsburgh.
It was just, it was a night where, their chances went in the first, our chances didn't. And so then you're just digging yourself out of a hole that's difficult to dig out of. We probably have more quality chances for than we did last night, especially in that first part, and probably gave up similar stuff, and they went in and ours didn't. And that's hockey. I don't like the too many men on the ice. That's a very, very correctable mistake. So we just got to make sure we look at that, because I thought at that point you still have a chance. You know, you're trying to dig your way out, and then they score on that, and then it's really, really hard. So, that was it. Oh, we made a mistake.
I know in the back-to-backs you're maybe a little tired of being asked about that, but do you know what it is in terms of the preparation or the mentality for the second half?
Two things I'd say. I'm not tired about being asked for it. I think we should be asked for it. The second thing is again, it was a night. It was a night where I can't sit here and say to you, like when we played Buffalo, we played Anaheim, and we got outplayed grossly early. I think the puck went in for them, and it didn't go in for us on our chances. So we need to make sure, one, just fundamentally, I still think we need to improve a lot defensively, just so that you're not even giving those up, you know. That's one, fundamentally. And that way you just never risk that you have to chase the game. But that's just as a group, we got to get better at that, whether it's structure or just individual fundamentals. But so to me, it was a little bit different than some of those other back-to-backs, to be honest with you.
What went into taking Spencer out and then bringing him back in?
Well, I took him out because I didn't think he quite had it the way, you know, and so it was just one of those nights where, let's get Sody in there at that point, we'd call in a timeout. You're kind of exhausting your opportunities to change the momentum of the game. Putting him back in was, you know, a chance to, you know, he had whatever, we had the Christmas break, and I wanted to just get him more game time when he went back in there, get him ready for the next one.
Good to get Foligno back.
Yeah, it was good. You know, I thought Fliggy actually played pretty good, to be honest with you. Like, I thought for, you know, a guy who missed significant time, I thought he played pretty good. He's just a really smart, strong player. And so he knows, you know, how to win pucks, how to defend well, how to go to the net. How to, he just knows how to play hockey. That's why he's played for such a long period of time. He's been a real positive player.
How do you evaluate the third line with Green,
Morris? I thought they played, you know, pretty good. I thought, you know, they had obviously an elite chance in the first there. Greener hits the post. You know, I thought overall they played pretty good. You know, I think they're not getting the match that, you know, like a Dickinson's line's getting. You know, Dickinson had Crosby all night, so that's a harder match. So then, you know, I think if we put them in those situations that are favorable, they have opportunities to have success. But I thought that was probably the best overall game I think that line's played for me.
But you try to utilize them on the second power play unit, adding
Doc in the mix. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're just obviously, you know, our PP, you know, we had two in the first and didn't score, so we got to find a way to. I thought we created some chances, so I don't want to make it a bigger deal than it is. It wasn't like we didn't create anything, but we do got to find a way to score more in the power play. It's a hard league to score 5-on-5 on a consistent basis.
I guess what you say to Spencer tonight, and I guess the team in general, when things go south.
Well, you know, I just told him, listen, it, you know, like, for sure it's hard. Is it hard? 100%. We're going through a little hard stretch right now. But I actually really like this group. And I like who they are as people. I like who they are as competitors. I like who they are as hockey players. And I like the potential in the group even for the rest of this season. Do we got to grind through this? Yes. Is this what any of us want to go through? No. But that's life. You could hear it out my kids here. That's life, man. You know, you got to grind. And it doesn't always go the way you want it. We can't feel sorry for ourselves. We got to continue to work together. But I will. I am pumped to go work with this group tomorrow and try to get better for the next game.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. I don't disagree with what he's saying there about believing in this group. It really simply comes down to the Blackhawks are without their two best players, skaters, in Connor Bedard and Frank Nazar, and they're really feeling the effects of that. So once they get those guys back, I imagine things are going to look more like we saw the Blackhawks in the first couple months of the season. We got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, the Hawks routed by the Pittsburgh Penguins 7-3 here at the United Center. Let's dive into a Blackhawks prospect update and check in on our next generation of players sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Blackhawks prospect Vaclav Nestrosil, the number 25 overall pick by Chicago, is one of the three prospects that are representing Chicago in the World Junior tournaments, and he's off to a really strong start. In the opening game for Czechia on Friday, he had 2 assists, 1 shot on goal, and a +2 rating in 16:09 of ice time. It was a 7-5 loss to Canada. He followed that up yesterday with a goal, an assist, two shots on goal, a plus one rating, and 20 minutes and 15 seconds of ice time in a 7-2 victory over Denmark. So he has been off to a good start, 1-1 for Team Czechia, but he has two multi-point games in his first couple games to start the tournament. Time now for tonight's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be back in action on Tuesday night here at the United Center against the New York Islanders, 7:30 puck drop. I'm really excited to watch number one overall pick Matthew Schaefer for the first time in person. He is off to a fantastic start for the Islanders, 24 points, 9 goals, 15 assists in 39 games, and he's averaging 23 minutes and 45 seconds of ice time. He's not just one of the best rookies, he's already one of the best defensemen in the entire NHL. So enjoy Matthew Schaefer. He's going to be really good in this league for a long time, starting here on Tuesday night in our first look against the New York Islanders. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Sitco. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Sitco. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for our broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter, Tony DeNardis, and our production crew of Eli Burke. They were led by our engineers, Nick Heppner on pinch hit duty, and our captain, Krista Flores, back at the station. For John Weideman and Steve Conrad, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romaliotis signing off after a 7-3 loss to the Penguins. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday night from the UC.